All right, so welcome. Today we'll begin with 7000 Wisconsin Avenue, which is at the sketch plan phase. As you all know, you're being recorded and the recordings will go up on the website. So we'll start with a brief presentation from the project team. There is a SketchUp model here if folks want to be able to pan around and look at anything in particular. And then we will see if there is available time for a public comment, because we do have one person signed up for public comment. Before we begin, Stephanie and Matt, if there's anything that staff would like to say, no, guide the discussion. All right, great. So,
good morning. I'm Bob Dalrymple. I'm an attorney with the law firm Molinos and Blocker, representing the applicant along with Matt Gordon. And I'll just ask our team to identify themselves, starting with Meredith.
I'm Meredith Byer with Dewberry. You're the civil engineer on the project.
Marius Radulescu, SKNI. We are the architects.
Dennis Connors, SKNI.
Mr. Tim.
Tim Eden, Star Capital developer.
Todd Jacobus, Woodfield Development developer.
I thought maybe it'd be helpful just to give a little summary of who you guys are so that they are familiar a little bit with your background.
Sure. Good morning. As I said, I'm Todd Jacobus with Woodfield. Woodfield is a developer and owner of primarily Class A apartments along the East Coast. Our footprint is pretty much Philadelphia metro to South Florida and most major metros in between. We've been in business as a kind of going concern and partnerships for 14 years now. Have a long and extensive track record in Metro Washington and particularly in Montgomery County. Some of our current projects in the county are up in the Shady Grove area and in the city of Gaithersburg and elsewhere. So I'm very familiar with the process in the county and I'm a resident and glad to develop and live and work here. So I'm happy to be here and happy for your time. So thank you.
So Tim Eden with Star Capital. My company's actually the contract purchasers of the property, have been so for several years through the sector plan process. And we have worked with the neighboring property owners. There's four property owners in that block that you'll see. And we've worked with all of them to look at the block comprehensively. It's a big site, about 4 acres between Strathmore and Wisconsin. And so we have worked with Bob and with SKNI on various schemes for the entire 4 acre block. Everybody has a different time frame, however, so we're here just to talk about a half acre of that block, but know that we have we continue to coordinate with neighboring property owners to try and get the most out of the urban planning process here. This is my fourth job in Montgomery County, including the Cheval condominium building that we shepherded through the process with Bob and with SKI, and so take a lot from that process, including the community benefits aspect of that job. The art studio space was a big part of that particular project. So we're very proud of the Cheval, and we're very proud of 7000 Wisconsin. It's a challenging project, but this whole section of Bethesda is in need of revitalization. It's a lot of aging, you know, two-story retail and office buildings that are beyond their useful life. So this is a great opportunity for the county to make a statement here at the entrance to Bethesda.
Okay, well, thank you. Has this been over here yet? Yeah. Signing? Yeah. Does staff need to sign in?
No, it's development.
Oh, so you play by your own rules, do you?
Yeah, sure.
The home court advantage, I guess. Why don't we go to the next slide here? We'll turn it over to the design team here in a second, but just by way of getting you oriented, this is we're calling it 7000 Wisconsin, and it's actually the addresses are 6936 through 7000. It is quite obviously in the middle of the block, and we'll talk about the challenges that challenges and opportunities, I guess, that presents. This is the first of the properties in this block that will go through the zoning process after the sector plan. The one project, Adagio, went through under previous zoning, which is to the south, I guess, to the north of the property, looking up on the screen, you see it, is an existing development that whose property, Washington Property, who we were talking to and coordinating with, and I'll get to the reasons for that in a little bit. Further to the north of that is the new Solaire, where True Foods is, and the Adagio, as I said, is to the south before you get to Bradley Boulevard. Currently, the property is accessed from Wisconsin Avenue, and one of the, I guess, challenges that we're working with is to have our primary access instead to a public alley that runs behind the property in the middle of the block in a north-south direction. And I think we have something that zooms in on that further. Maybe we go to the next one. Yeah, point that out, Dennis. Yeah.
This is the rear. This is front curb cut. This is the rear alley.
Right. So that, you know, working with the other owners, because all of the properties in that block use that public alley. We had looked initially, as we were going through the sector plan process, at the possibility of seeking an abandonment of that public alley, but I think the functionality of it is too important to the block, and also trying to get multiple property owners on the same page for an abandonment would have been very difficult to do. So we're taking it as a given, and we're also using it as an opportunity to bring both vehicular access to the property and also service through that, and we can talk about that a little bit further. The proposal for this is 200 dwelling units, 15,000 square feet of retail on the ground floor. We are looking to do 17.6% MPDUs. The significance of that is that with going to over 17.5%, it allows this property to add a floor, which helps with the economics of providing the MPDUs and some of the other things. The property is CR3 and an H height of 120 feet. And I'll put an asterisk on that 120 feet because the sector plan does provide that getting to that 120 feet as opposed to 110 feet is predicated upon the project having a theater. I think at the time that it was written in to the plan, we were thinking potentially a traditional screen, movie theater screens, to replace the one that was coming out of commission further up to the north of the site. But a great opportunity has been presented to us to look to a community theater for this site, potentially a black box theater, which is something that the Arts and Entertainment District in downtown Bethesda, among others, have been looking for multiple years. So we're in discussions with the right people to see if that is a deliverable. In any event, we are designating about 4,000 square feet at the surface level, and taking advantage of the grade, which does go from east to west. There's a pretty significant grade, and we can talk about that as well. Building that into the design, but earmarking the ground bottom level for this community theater, and we'll get more specific with that as we move to the site plan level. So one of the other elements that I wanted to point out, I don't know if this is the right slide for it. I guess we'll stick on this one. The sector plan recommends that there be a mid-block crossing from east to west here, just above the red portion on the aerial to the left there. It's a rather long block, as you can see, and the thought at the time of sector plan was if we could provide a pedestrian crossing there mid-block, that would help break up the block and make it more interesting. And we are working on that to provide it, the first part of that, the remainder of it, the ultimate goal of having the mid-block connection will require the property owner to the north to also cooperate and to incorporate the mid-block, which would come when that property redevelops. That said, we are working with that property owner, and we hope to incorporate the ultimate design of that into the sketch plan of this site, and we're looking to do that hopefully in the next couple of weeks. The other thing I wanted to point out, because it does relate to the design elements and the design guidelines for this site, the design guidelines suggest that when you have a internal lot such as this, that the base of the building be connected to create a unified building wall along the street. That obviously is in conflict with the sector plan objective of having a mid-block crossing. So, you know, you have to kind of choose which one we're going to do. You can't do both. You can't have a mid-block crossing and a continuous building wall at the street front. We're moving in the direction of implementing the recommendation of the sector plan for the mid-block crossing, and again, for the reasons I already said, and we can get into that with the design. So I've talked long enough. Why don't I turn it over to our design team to walk you through the rest, and then look forward to your questions.
Hello, I'm Marius Radulescu, the SKNI. The next few slides, we're going to go through the guidelines. So on this page, what we plotted in red is a strict building or a strict massing based on the guideline. In white, you see the existing conditions, and in red is what could potentially be built on the site. So again, our project is this, and this is a cut from the guideline describing this situation as an urban boulevard. The next slide describes what methods could be employed to achieve what's in the guidelines. So it's not one solution fits all, but there are different methods, different styles, if you want, from which you can choose to achieve the stated goal of the guideline. And this one, first of all, on the right-hand side, you see what the goals of the projects are. So with a few examples. So establish a street presence. Obviously, Wisconsin Avenue is a major corridor, and would be nice to bring pedestrians, which right now they stop sort of from Old Georgetown Road to Bradley, like midpoint, it kind of dissipates. You know, there's no longer activity. So we'd like to improve that. Then we're going to see how we're going to break down the mass. We need to consider this project is a mid-block. It's not the two ends, so it has you experience it differently. And then how we shape the tower. On the left-hand side, again, we see two columns. On the far left is what's in the guideline, and on this midpoint column is how we shape the building. So we started with an extrusion, then we break the back to bring light towards the core, and we are setting back about 70 foot from the sidewalk to create this boulevard wall, and we're setting up the building that way. And then lastly, we are articulating the ground floor, the public realm, and creating this through block connection. This is the same breakdown in more detail. So on the left, we start with the base along the Wisconsin Avenue. We know that we're gonna have the lobby of the building, perhaps on the south side, then a strong retail presence, the wraps around, and what I'm pointing out is actually this mid-block connection. Then how we cut the height of the building, push the upper area in, and push also the back of the projects north and south, again, to bring light and to create a feasible residential layout. And then on the right-hand side, the last diagram shows how this block connection works. So we are creating this portico that opens up and then goes down towards Strathmore Street or alley. Those are a few examples of how we envision the retail. So as I mentioned, Wisconsin Avenue right now doesn't have a strong retail presence. There are retail stores, but they don't have that type of interaction which makes the street urban or livelier. It's just there's a big box retail right here. Then this is residential. There's an empty spot, a post office. So it's not really a lot. And the same thing for the other side. But those are a few images. Some of them are right in the neighborhood, like this is Bethesda, in the Bethesda Row. And how we can integrate this pedestrian with the alleyway. So it's not only the presence is not going to be here, but how can we make everything interesting along this corridor and down into the middle of the block. And then again, it shows an example here of what one happens when you have a closed or a height, and you have a building above. How you can treat this passageway to be interesting. How you can bring retailers. What happened during the evenings. If you can bring outdoor seating. So all these elements we want to incorporate into the street. Then the next slide is an area of what we are proposing. So again, in those buildings in light gray, in white is the existing condition, and the red dashed line shows what potentially could be built. So on the left-hand side is the bird's eye view from southeast, and on the right hand side will be northwest. So this is Wisconsin Avenue. That is the retail facade, the main facade, the setback of the upper floor, and this is the opening towards the through block connection. From the back, again, this is Wisconsin Avenue. This is the through block connection, which is covered for about two-thirds of the length, and then it's open. At the end of this, on the Strathmore side end of the project, this is just a vignette, and we're gonna go into details later on. This is where that either movie theater or black box theater could be located. So all along this passageway, again, we want to draw people in and make a nice outdoor living space. We have two sections along Wisconsin Avenue and Strathmore Alleyway. So this is the east elevation, the front of the building. Again, the red line represents what could potentially be there. And what this one shows, again, how that the strong base of the strong public realm element that you want to have on the left-hand side on the south will be the building lobby, and on the north side, on the right-hand side of this image, is the entrance to the public way. So we want both ends to bookend the retail in the middle. And this will be the section or the view through the alleyway. Again, the red line shows what could potentially be built. The next few slides, we want to show precedents or vision of what the different elements of the architecture would be. So we are starting with the retail. So the base of the building, we want something that is permeable, would animate the sidewalk, would encourage a viable retail space and will establish a relation between Wisconsin Avenue and the through block connection. Those are a few images from the neighborhood, some from DC, and showing how retail could work, what the architecture could be. So you create a language or you create a brand, depending what kind of retail you're gonna bring. We want again to have a lot of glass, a lot of transparency, so you could always feel the presence of the space inside and outside. As for the mill, we want to have two readings, a base one which is more grounded, heavier. It forms this anchoring base of the building, and a few examples of that could be, so it could be, you know, metal panel, masonry panels, but anyway, the reading is more rigorous and is heavier in nature. And then for the upper level, we want something that is contrasting, that follows in a way a pattern established on the lower reading, but the elements are much lighter, more glazing, and just perhaps lighter detail and a different reading within the same the same pattern. And a few examples on the right hand side of this play between the base and the top. Then on the left hand side is the ground floor plane that shows on the south side the residential lobby, and on the north side is the retail component. And this is the through block connection. So this is a Wisconsin Avenue level, then we know that we're gonna have a transition and into the lower a portion of the alleyway connecting to the Strathmore Alley. And this is a section of the building. This is Wisconsin, and this is the alleyway. So it's a section, cross-section looking north. Again, showing the lobby. So the section is through that. And this is the residential tower above. The garage level on G1. Then on the public level, that will be, or G2 actually. So G1 will still be underground on the Wisconsin Avenue, but it's gonna have a level access to the garage and a level access to this retail component. So all this corner is on sidewalk level, but then we need a transition stairs and just to connect to the upper level of the through block connection. And those are different floors. So we have the typical 4 through 9, and this is, well, I should start on the other side. So this is the second floor, which shows the footprint, the amenities, and then a courtyard that is gonna be accessible from the amenities. Then the third floor plan, and this will be the typical through ninth floor, the upper portion of the building, 10 to 13th, and this is the roof plan, which should have a small roof amenity, public access, and then we have green roof and mechanical on the west side. This is a detailed section through the through block connection. Along with the retail, I think that this is probably the signature element of the project. So we have about three stories, about 34 feet plus and minus opening. And we want to create a strong architecture element that will work in conjunction with to the retail. And this should be a very active space with zones for outdoor seating, and then transition down to another active corner, which is this either movie theater or black box theater. So this is a section from Wisconsin Avenue, the public alley, looking south. So the cross section looking south. And those are a few details. So we look at it as to us, this is almost like the signature piece. So we want to bring a lot of focus and attention to that. And this next two slides is what if type of scenario. Is what is the master plan, or what the vision would be for these spaces. As I mentioned, we want to create a zone that has dining or outdoor seating, but it's something that should be inviting, something that will create spaces that are comfortable to be used regardless of whether you have business going down or not. It's almost like an amenity for Wisconsin Avenue on this area. And those are a few examples. This is actually in DC, it's probably a little known zone, but it's this in Colorama. So it's just a way to landscape a transition between a street level, a higher street and a lower street, and create seating area and create venues for either landscape or arena seating, or even outdoor extension of a cafe. So the state, you know, they don't need to be continuous, but they create this opportunity for people to enjoy. And this is one other type of connection that, again, we don't want the state just to be there because we need a state. We want that to be an opportunity. So that's another way of creating zones, landscaping, maybe cascading plants. Again, this type of stadium seating, maybe a water feature. So the idea is this is just is not just because it was mandated. We want that to be a focus and a feature of the project. And this was the last slide.
So with that, we're here to answer your questions or to accept your praise.
I'd like to probe the viability of theater for a minute. Floor-to-floor height, what is your floor-to-floor height? It looks like it's the typical height of a garage level.
No, it's too short.
That's retail above it, according to the plan.
That's in flex right now.
We're working on that. It depends on the devising plan of the retail at the front, because the retail on the ground floor, the back of house, is potentially going to be raised up. Okay. So we're looking at 14 feet or so, or clear, on the lower level. That would have to. So this area back here, depending on the devising plan of that retail, could get raised up.
And you obviously have the residential wing above it. Are you going to transfer out all those columns?
Yeah, we have a residential above, and probably we'll
otherwise
have to,
the space is going to be peppered.
Right. Probably we need to transfer, of course.
That's why, this would be mostly back of house retail.
So if you really are serious about theater, shouldn't you be showing the correct floor height?
I mean, what is the correct floor?
It's not 10 feet, believe me. I've done movie theaters.
That's what they're working on now. We black box.
We do. We got a spec sheet in terms of. What some other, and we're looking at other black box theaters, including one over in Silver Spring. There's a couple over in Virginia we're looking at. So it is more than 10 feet.
It's actually 14.
And we are implying that in our diagram.
Yeah.
So
16 feet.
But I read that is the height for your loading dock, not necessarily the movie theater.
That's right. That's it. We would have to apply
to
the
me,
same.
If you're going to do a theater, then you really ought to be showing legitimate space for a theater. Mm-hmm. And it's not 10 feet floor to floor.
Right.
And it also would require you to transfer out all the columns from the residential units above, which obviously takes up more depth.
Right, so that's 60. The loading dock is actually 16 feet,
right?
Which we have as a minimum. We have that
right
to work with in the space. Certainly, we would have to cross beam to support the clear height.
So I guess the next question should be asked is, is, you know, the issue that the extra 10 feet was added back years ago, right, with the idea that ultimately would replace the Regal theaters that have been now closed. And what you really end up having is a, let's call it a relatively token element. I mean, if it were a legitimate black box use, I think that's a whole different discussion. But to me, it's, to be honest with you, it comes across as a ploy to get an extra 10 feet. And is it really a legitimate request?
Right. So where that came from was the schemes we did for the entire 2 acre section there, where we, and that pretty close in the alley, which turned out to be problematic. But that doesn't mean that there can't be a theater district here that's emerging. So that each building that does bring its site plan together can come forward with some sort of contribution to the arts and entertainment district. You could see in creating a theater district here for art screenings and for performing arts. We don't have the scale to accommodate the true black box theater that you see in Silver Spring is actually about 25 feet clear.
Right.
With the catwalk.
Right, absolutely.
The ones that I've got have been that high.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Yeah, that's the height that I've normally.
25 feet.
Right, right. Yeah, so right. We technically don't have the scale to be able to do that with the footprint that we do have. But if you look at the block in its entirety, there are opportunities to add different elements to it. If you notice, Blues Alley, a highly successful facility, you know, that can't be a 14-foot ceiling. But so my point is that within the 4,000 square feet of clear and 16 feet, we can create a very high quality experience there. And if it ends up being a multi-purpose theater space for not only for film but also for performing arts, that's where it could lead. We are working with Arts and Entertainment to see if this space can qualify for what they want to do and their objectives.
I would add to that the actual opposite from being a token, we met with those folks and got the specs for the space, and our square footage is only off by 500 feet from what they handed us, and our ceiling heights are within the limits they handed us. So we kind of took their input, took the community input, took the arts and entertainment input, and incorporated it into our plans. There's one paragraph in the design guidelines that references this. Not even a paragraph, three sentences. So we're kind of feeling our way through it, and our natural instincts are to go and get community input for that. So that's what you're seeing here.
Well, speaking of a resident who lives within a short walk of this, I'd be excited by the fact that you could offer this. But I guess it's not coming across to me right now as a legitimate idea without a commitment from a specific venue. You know, it was talked about in the brief we got as a children's theater. To me, I mean, I'm being really candid, it comes across more as an excuse to get the extra 10 feet.
Well, I think, you know, it is early, very early on in the process. And, you know, as you all are well aware, you know, a project needs to gain some credibility before you start getting commitment. This is more than a token. In fact, I think that we would like the property and the project to be identified with the community theater. I think we want it to be, as we've indicated a couple times, the signature of the site. So I think it is, you know, it very definitely is early on. We have a lot of detail yet to go. But I think we're also looking at the potential of not just carving out that 4,000 square feet of building space, but also incorporating that mid-block connection to be part of that experience. And that requires, you know, getting some cooperation from the property owner to the north as well.
Can you talk more about that?
Yeah,
well, I don't understand
the overall plans for the block. I know it's obviously conceptual.
Half the stairs are on the next property.
The theater mm-hmm. is questionable to me. I mean, you started to persuade me a little bit with some of these kind of visioning for the staircase and how it ties into it, but I mean, the way it sits right now, it's just kind of the back of the building in the middle of this alley that's not well utilized. So what's the vision for the overall block?
Do you have the existing conditions slide, the very first one, Marius? Don't you kind of need that to come through with the easement?
Well, I'm happy that you brought those two slides, because in the package we didn't have those two slides, which made
snarky little stairway.
It was hard to make sense of.
There's the existing conditions there. There's a public or a dual use easement, that wide strip that runs up the left side there. That's where you're seeing the steps come down from grade down to the more or less down to the theater, which turns that corner there from the alleyway. So it's not.
Stop touching the screen.
So the discussions with the property to the north, actually Washington Property Company, and we've met several times with them, and they do not have an immediate timetable to move that project forward, but they support our plan, and not speaking for them, but in theory they would mirror their open space on between Wisconsin and the alleyway so we're proposing 22 and a half feet for that mid-block opening, which is within the guidelines.
That portion.
And presumably they would add another 22 feet that would really create an impressive passageway and a shelter between Wisconsin and Strathmore. But then we do have the alleyway. There is an easement for that alley. It's now a very limited loading alley for some of the retail spaces in there. It's lightly used, but it leverages off of that existing passageway. So that I think with their sketch plan, they would do something complementary on that side of the alleyway, and maybe that's another theater, another public use space to mimic what we're going to be doing on our corner there. Also note that with the development of all these blocks, that alleyway becomes something very different than what it is now, which is an unpleasant, uninviting loading alley full of dumpsters and everything else. The utility lines will be put underground. The dumpsters will be gone, and there is actually a theory, a scenario where that expands from 22 feet, from 20 feet to potentially 30 feet through the site plan process, and that alley then becomes something more than what it is today. It becomes a pedestrian friendly environment, and it's a very different experience. You'll have residential lining that alleyway. And I think you can look for a day when that is a much more inviting experience than what it is now.
Well, I mean, that would be great. Yeah. I mean, the alley, what's the alley's name down in Georgetown where the furniture stores are?
Cady's
Alley. If it ultimately could evolve into that, it'd be really nice. But
right.
It requires a leap of faith to kind of believe that.
Well, I don't think it's really a leap of faith, because the property owners on Strathmore will be coming in with the sketch plan sometime this year, we believe. And you'll get a good look at what the plans are for Strathmore. So it really is imminent. I think that the redevelopment of that alley is imminent.
Say that again. Yes, repeat that again.
Dennis, can you point out the properties on Strathmore? So that entire strip there is about an acre, okay? And then that same property owner owns the site to the south of us on Wisconsin. Okay, that is the Offutt Trust. They've owned the property for 65 years. It is... And that is the subject of another transaction that is in the pipeline, and I think you'll see a sketch plan for that project sometime this calendar year. So the redevelopment of that section of Strathmore and the alleyway is imminent. And then on the other corner, the Miller property, if you could point out the Miller property, that is a half acre, and we're in discussions to move that project forward as part of our initiative here on Wisconsin. So I think you'll see the potential of the Miller property as well come in for sketch plan this year. Unfortunately, we couldn't get everybody together to do it concurrently, but we are working. Know that we're working and have been working for 3 years to bring life to the section here and to grapple with the issues that are here, which are very real.
Well, I think, do you have a charrette that actually shows the ultimate build out for all these properties and then how yours fits into that plan, this grand plan? I think that would be very important to show.
It's a little tricky though, in that we don't control their design, and they might get a little upset at us. We've been trying, Tim in particular has been trying for multiple years to bring all of these properties together. And in fact, during the sector plan process, at one point in time, we all were sitting down at the same table and trying to forge a comprehensive approach to the block. While we're not, you know, venture partners with any of them, we are in conversation with them. And I think the best thing that we can do is to show this project both in its interim condition, but also in the context of what will ultimately be there. Not so much with building design of the other properties, but more kind of the infrastructure and the bones and the, right, and the urban flavor to it.
That the tall residential building on the site, what's the dark one right next to it?
This?
Yeah, what's that building?
That is an office building. It has the post office on the ground floor.
Very aged.
How many stories?
Yeah.
Seven
stories.
It's about 90 feet tall.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to get to here is, I would assume there's windows on the north side.
There is, yeah.
There is a requirement for tower separations on this block.
Here,
so you would think that maybe there might be a tower separation there. And then how many more do you need on the block? Because if we need tower separations, you know, do we say that this project should be providing at least a portion of one of them, you know, half of one of them?
Why not both?
Yeah, or you know, two different separations, or, you know, because they're first, they don't have to. I don't know how that works.
Well, if you guys will recall 8000 Wisconsin Avenue, you know, there, I guess you guys, the architects built the logic that we had to butt up against the adjacent properties because there were party walls on both properties.
Right, yeah.
Now you're going to create the party walls.
Right.
So we're going to end up with another continuous wall on this block, which here's an opportunity to do what the master plan calls for.
Well, so, and if you look at the plan, I mean, it almost suggests that your passageway is half of one of the tower separations. And so if that was just extruded all the way up, because even in the drawing, it's sort of strange to show half or the passageway developed with columns,
right, and then
that will ultimately be
down the
dead
center of
you know, whatever the property to the north is.
Which seems
doing.
Really counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But they don't, not in their property. The adjacent one, south of it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could address that. Marius, if you could drop down to one of the other slides that shows the through block, the site view, plan view.
Plan view.
Plan view.
Plan view. Yeah.
Of the through block.
So.
Yeah.
So, in fact, there is tower separation on the private alleyway. That is 20 feet, and there would be additional setback from the existing 20 foot. So there is tower separation there. What we're seeking is a party wall condition on really only about 60 feet at the north end, at the what is the east end on Wisconsin. There is in fact window lines on the west and in the south end of that building. But you do have in fact tower separation there on both sides of that. And we've talked specifically about Washington Property Company about that. So we're really only seeking a party wall condition for a small section of that, the trade-off being the 35 feet of pedestrian connection. So we really can't have it both ways here. And when we feel like the tower separation was what, after 90 feet? Was that the tower separation guideline?
70.
After 70 feet. So the trade here is that, hey, the tower separation is really in that for 35 feet to accommodate that pedestrian connection, which creates that strong corner for us. So we think that's, that was really the trade. We've talked about this at length. And if you went for a strict 45-foot setback there, you know, what are you really gaining from that? And the advantages here is a very strong presence on Wisconsin Avenue. And we are then stepping back at 90 feet or 100 feet, I'm not sure. We're stepping back at the upper levels to accommodate that.
Maybe it's worth talking about that mid-block connection and what the experience of going through that first section is. We have, you know, the example of the building also the 8,000 block of Wisconsin, I think it's 7,900, mm-hmm. that's under construction right now, where they have done...
The JBG
the
project.
The JBG
yeah.
project, mm-hmm. where they've done a mid-block connection that's essentially a tunnel, but the tunnel is very wide and it's very high. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's worth talking about, you know, if you do this mid-block connection, and it's essentially... And I'm not saying it in a derogatory way, I'm just trying to say it in a descriptive way. It's sort of a tunnel. How do you make that tunnel inviting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much height, how much width, that kind of thing. The one on the JBG project, again, is, you know, very wide, very tall. But I think that's an important discussion point.
Yeah, we are showing actually a couple of precedents regarding that. And you know, some of them are here, in which basically you need to design it such that it's an experience. So the tunnel, it feels like it should be a tunnel. In other words, it's something done on purpose through lighting fixtures, architectural elements, landscaping, the life that you bring in through retail opportunities for outdoor seating, and all these elements. So there are bad examples from the 70s and 80s, some of them probably in this area, but I think that we long moved away from that, so I think that there are very good examples that could be accomplished, especially that this is not doesn't continue all the way to the back, so it's about two-fifths about that.
Feet?
And then it opens up in something that hopefully is very interesting landscaping-wise, with the stairs, with the opportunity for landscape. And
so it's 34 high,
22
wide, and it's how deep is it?
61.
22 on our side.
22 on.
That's pretty spacious,
yeah.
Particularly if you mirror it mm-hmm. to the
right.
north,
right. Yeah.
Column lines down the center notwithstanding.
Yeah, I think we measured Bethesda Row, the passageway where the Apple Store is. I think we measured that at 45 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in this room probably knows that fact, but it is 45 feet.
I thought it was a little bit more than that.
Yeah. And your comment about the columns is a good one. We are showing four columns there, and in theory they would. Washington Property would add their own four columns there, so you would have that interruption of space, and we would take advantage of that by dressing those columns up and making them a feature of the passageway. But that is only four columns. It's not a steady beat of columns,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's three at the end of the day. You know, structurally we showed four.
And what would happen if you didn't have I think in the beginning you said there's like two choices. There's the master plan recommendation about a mid-block connection, but then there's also the master plan recommendation about a strong frontage
right.
along Wisconsin Avenue. So what would happen if you didn't have that small tunnel? I mean, you might still have the open area where the alley is in the back that could be, accessed through the interior of the building. You know, it wouldn't be something that people would just walk through, but what would happen in that case?
That's a different scheme.
Yeah,
we didn't study.
You know, there's another parallel. Go back to Caddy's Alley. There's a street connection from M Street down into the alley. There's
right.
probably more appropriate precedent for this project than some of the other ones you mentioned.
It's a street open to the air.
It's probably even smaller than this one. I'm not sure. It's not as tall.
And it's not as tall.
Yeah. Actually, it's one floor, just one floor. It's about 10 foot.
Why does that work? Why does Caddy's Alley work?
Well, Caddy's Alley works because, you have an active kind of furniture stores back there. You got the restaurant at the bottom of the stairways. It does make a transition in level from M Street down into Caddy's Alley. You know, I think, to me, you're planting the seeds, and we don't know whether it's going to germinate, right?
Yeah.
It's so dependent upon your neighbors. It's so dependent on the redevelopment of the alley. Personally, I like the idea of the root-through passage,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also very concerned about if you're going to make a theater, it's got to be shown as a legitimate theater, and right now, physically, it's not. I'm also concerned about, yet again, we're finding another case where we're not doing the tower separation.
Or the step back.
Or the step back, right.
Well, let me ask a question. Is the through block connection sacred? I mean, is that a given here, or do we not need that at all?
It's on the master plan. I think we do have the conflicting recommendations. We have the master plan suggesting the mid block and the design guidelines suggesting the strong, base building connection.
I think back to. You can do the continuous building wall, except for where the master plan has recommended a public open space or a through block.
Okay, so that would suggest that the connection takes precedence.
Connection takes precedence.
Yeah, I think back to Gwen's question, what would it be like? It would almost be the opposite of what we're proposing. If you had a connection at the base level, I think that the design guidelines would then be suggesting that you have building separation at the upper level. So it would be continuous and then a gap there rather than the opening at the bottom and the party wall more at the top. So I think
it would be. Question whether that's acceptable. I don't know.
You would just flip the building, in essence.
And basically, we're just flipping the building.
Yes, exactly. We architects can have that conversation with each other.
It was a much more consolidated piece. And so it did make sense to have the connection to break up that larger block. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was written in that fashion. A couple other things to note. We have, as staff, raised some of the similar issues as you have in terms of master plan conformance. We've asked for more information and detail about the black box because we didn't think 4,000 square feet was big enough, but we need precedence. We need to understand kind of how that fits here. And so that's part of our review in terms of how this is going to work. We're actually meeting with the Arts and Entertainment District in Bethesda to talk to them a little bit about what their needs are and how this might or might not fit into that. The other thing I wanted to point out is there was a comment that Tim made about other projects coming in terms of contributing to this theater. We have concerns about that. This was specific in the master plan of the state that you provide a theater for that height. So if other projects come in and contribute, I don't know how they would contribute to that theater unless they're supporting that. And so we've raised that as an issue, as an operational type issue, but also as a master plan performance issue. And lastly, we've also asked about kind of the long-term piece to this. If they're getting the additional height for that black box theater, there needs to be something in place that makes sure that it operates, that it's functional, and that it remains. So those are, just to put that on the table, I know that some of that doesn't have to do with the architectural piece to this, but some of it does, because we're looking at both the through-block connection, we're looking at the kind of the spatial requirements for the theater. But those are all things that we've raised as an issue. It's a good thing this isn't a sketch plan, because I think it's a good picture right now. And so as we discuss this in more detail, the discussion here, I think, is helpful.
I think those are all. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to say a little bit of history. The whole theater thing is challenging. I was involved way back in the 90s when the Whitney developed, which is above the old Bethesda Cinema, now the Blues, Bethesda Blues performing spot. And that was a project that had to do amenities. We called them something different back in those days because it was under the old CBD zones. And we worked really, really hard to get a commitment before the project was approved that they had an operator for that site. And they did. They brought in an operator from, it's called like the Niedermeyer Group or something from Manhattan to operate off-Broadway kind of shows, sort of like the Warner Theater kind of thing. And they did that. They renovated the theater. They brought in the Niedermeyer Group. They operated it for 2 years, and then it collapsed, and the Niedermeyer Group went away. And then they tried to create a private nonprofit to operate it, and that didn't really work. And then, again, a few years ago, they found the blues group that put their use in there, but it has had, it's had challenges, you know, to have sort of have a confirmed private user. And, you know, that's actually not surprising. Any theater may change hands over time. That's sort of the way these theaters work. But, you know, at least in that case, they had at the time of the approval a specific user who said, you know, we're going to come in and we're going to put on shows in this space. And they did for 2 years, but then they went away.
And that had the distinct advantage of already having been an existing
exactly.
Mm-hmm. And with being encapsulated into the building that had the height, the width, and the size that we knew would act as a movie theater.
Yeah.
Well, this is the black box, no pun intended.
Well, it may well be.
That's the issue.
I mean, I'm having
a real box.
Great difficulty.
Yeah, a real black box, right.
Having great difficulty with adding 10 feet of height to the building to accommodate a theater.
Right.
And yet the theater is squeezed in the basement and not using any of that additional height.
I agree.
For me, that's from a justification standpoint.
The most compelling drawings were the last two drawings that you had that showed the stairs and the new stair on the abutting properties, et cetera, and opening that up. And you can almost envision that alley being something. That's why I think there should be, you should have a vision for the whole block, even though you don't have control of the properties. And in a sense, you can sell that to your abutting property owners as a gift so that they could buy in, if you will, to that vision, because I think it's all dependent upon the abutting property.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of making that stair work and making that, you know, the through block connection work and enlivening that alley, etc. The housing that's between the alley and Strathmore, I think, is very fundamentally important to the overall gestalt of that also. So I would really like to have a little bit more of a public realm urban design
mini
wish list.
Plan.
Yeah, like a mini master plan to and in a sense, it would do you well in terms of negotiating and dealing with these abutting properties, et cetera, because you're helping them.
I think that's
envision it.
I think you're exactly right, and that is something that we are working on. We, in fact, the position that we hope to be in within a couple of weeks is to bring that property to the north into our sketch plan. That's Charlie's property,
yeah.
Where we would be showing, you know, obviously how it would work in the interim because they have an existing condition, but ultimately to get commitment as to what the ultimate build of that is going to be and how that plays into the environment we're trying to create. And if we can get that commitment at sketch plan, even though they're not in the redevelopment phase yet, it at least allows us to see the context of
right,
it and make
right.
everybody believe in it a little bit better. So
exactly,
yeah.
Believe in it, right.
Yeah. Yeah, we agree. And that's what we're working on.
Yeah, I mean, didn't you answer your question? We are fighting for an extra floor, and we're not shy about that. These projects are very, very thin economically. The height that was given out during the sector plan process was not uniformly given. We fought hard for every inch that we could have gotten. And we are trying to make it work to get an extra floor to get to profitability, to be totally honest with you.
Sure.
And the opportunity presents itself at that lower level space. That alley is going to be something very different. And so will Strathmore, by the way. Strathmore will be very different. The other side of Strathmore on the east side is controlled, or the west side is controlled by Alden. They have 2 acres right across the street from us. Mm-hmm. We have schemes that SKI did where we masked everything. And we have those schemes. We can show them to you in 3D. Of how the thing would only take shape, but what is the opportunity for Strathmore? It's in the plan to be a residential street of some sort, but the goal for Strathmore is to be as wonderful as a tree-lined, you know, residential street that would look very different. But how the retail flows from Wisconsin down to Strathmore, how that whole thing is going to evolve is right before us, and it's a great urban planning opportunity. But to answer your question, we are absolutely fighting for an extra floor. And we think that that space can work. If you look at the Black Box Theater in Silver Spring, the actual theater space itself is about 3,000 feet. And then you have the circulation space around it.
Support space, right?
Yeah, you need the light.
And then you have the lighting package above, which is antiquated lighting scheme, fluorescent lighting scheme. It's very, very much different now. But that is still very much a possibility for performing arts here. But also for a cinema, we're in discussions with private operators to come in and operate a cinema, an art screen cinema. There's precedent for that. London has a whole series of individual theaters that do function, and they're beautiful. So we are committed to making it work, and we think it is extremely viable as a theater experience.
Well, it seems to me there's a lot of questions. I think that the tower separation, the theater, the passage, the step back above essentially the base podium are all elements that I think need to be addressed. And for one, I know that, we've been talking to everybody coming in on Wisconsin about the step back. And I think only one project so far has actually proposed the project to actually do it. The way it was suggested in the guidelines, and this I don't see a step back at all. And I know that there are members on our board who will immediately flag that and say something, and to the point of not wanting to accept it. So I think it needs to be, if it's not the full 10 to 15 feet, at least it needs to be addressed on what you're doing. And so that will be another important element.
I think we did propose 4 feet.
Yeah.
Where?
Right here, right there.
It's about 4 floors after 90 feet of height.
Yeah, well, it goes 35 to 70 feet as your base. So that's higher than that. So you really got to address that. And right now, it doesn't look like a base. It looks like, a building. That the base should be more relating to the street. So that 35 to 70 feet is what the master plan calls for, is for the base.
The 90 feet came from lining up with the existing office building and the Adagio, and the idea that there's this art, this data.
Actually, you can see
it. You
have to believe that office building will get redeveloped someday.
Though. Right.
I don't think it's going to be for a considerable time. Based on conversations I've had with that property owner, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
You mean above the post office?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I think
it's a pretty tired property, though.
It is, yeah. But it's, I think it's owned.
I officed there for 10 years. It was great. Looked right at the alleyway across there, brick alleyway.
But I'm just saying that the master plan does not say 90 feet, so.
But the tower separation is really intended for the 200 foot, the 250 foot, realm.
And
right.
And I can agree. I can agree to that side of the debate. I think that's something that you could possibly argue. I'm not sure if the board would go for it, but that is something I think you can argue.
But
I think the step back is important.
Sure. At 120 feet, we would need no separation, correct?
But you'd have to abide by the alternative methods, right? Yes, you're right about that.
I think the tower separation. Yeah, maybe. You could tell us, the tower separation only comes into play for buildings that are more than 120 feet.
Right.
In fact, now let me read it for you. So you may reduce tower separation for buildings below 120 feet or with limited property size, width or depth, or consider party walls if party walls are necessary to mitigate their visual impact with elements such as public art, lighting, texture, and or patterning that provides a visual interest and are appropriate to the context and architecture of the building. So you can vary the geometry on the building's upper floors, modulate the facade between buildings, also to increase the perception of tower separation and allow access to light there. So an alternative treatment should be done.
So Marius, that was one of the discussions that we had about creating a recess above of the pedestrian walkthrough to set back or accentuate that section there, for that purpose.
Yeah.
What would be the minimum? I have a question. If you are to pursue the power separation, what's the design and economy implication from your standpoint? If you are to pursue the tower separation by master plan 22 and a half feet, what's the design implication and economic implication? That do you still make profit? Because you said your profit is really thin.
We would have to look at that. I can't really answer that question. But the tower separation is a problem. I think if you,
the short answer is we lose density. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
of course. Oh, is that all?
Yeah. We're already getting pinched, from every.
You see a lot of walls in cities, block walls, mm-hmm. 120 feet and less, that there's no separation. And you see that a lot. Once you get above that and you start talking about, mm-hmm. Vertical towers. But again, I think the step back is something that I think you can't get away from that one.
That's also at 120 feet, right?
No. Either
35 to 70 feet.
Yeah.
But I think he's addressing that for buildings under 120 feet along this street type, that you could also pursue alternative treatments. And so that's where they look at the menu of methods to reduce mm-hmm. bulk, okay. to look at alternative treatments. So again, if you're not doing what's in the guidelines, you just have to be clear about what your alternative treatment is.
Right, and that's the layer. I think that's where Mary's is headed.
It would force a different layout and design to answer your question specifically.
Yeah.
Honestly, because in a residential building, you can't really, at that level, after having 8 or 9 floors of typical residential floor, it's almost impossible to set back that much. Because below your building would be too fat and wide to accommodate a narrower residential footprint above.
But when you look at the guideline, the guideline is a guideline. And there are different methods that allows you ideas. So there are different examples in which the buildings are actually flat. The point is to have a reading and to suggest that there is a base and to make the top recede so it doesn't look oppressive. The 10-foot is just a guide. In other words, it's just, I guess it's written that if you do that, you are less of a chance to fail, but doesn't mean that it's going to be a success. So we look at the guideline.
The guidelines talk about the fact that you don't have to have it 100% of the elevation and that there are
other
ways of doing it.
Nooks and crannies.
But I'm just suggesting that right now it doesn't look like it's being addressed at all.
Yeah.
And I know it will come up at the board if it's not addressed at all.
Right. Is that more site plan though than sketch or
ultimately?
Yeah.
But you bring it up with sketch.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a very valid comment.
Yeah. I think it's important to flag it at sketch, because otherwise you're going to go down this alley.
Yeah.
and be caught in the cul-de-sac of this alley. But
in your opinion, is it more a function of where the small setback we show mm-hmm. occurs, or the depth of it, or both?
Well, the depth is what they keep on. What is
But the 90
world,
feet and being,
figure out what, how to deal with that.
And their thesis of being in line with the other massing is a little more acceptable than
it starts to suggest a taller building rather than a base.
Yeah. You just don't want a monolithic front to the property.
Understood.
It's got to be interesting. And
I'm trying to keep up with all the pinches and pushes here.
Yeah.
So I'm just.
Yeah.
And also what we try to do to break the length. Although this is not by any means a large building, but we want to interrupt the length also to scale it back a bit.
Well, frankly, if I look, when I'm looking at this, I see potential for something of a transformation of the beautiful historic residential buildings of New York, that are pretty sedate, but also very elegant, and so it doesn't need a lot of gymnastics.
Right, and we try to keep
here,
it
here. And I don't think you'd want it a lot of gymnastics,
because
it is not a huge building, and it's not, I think, overly tall either.
So we wanted to, exactly as you said, to translate this, or to take the part that you'd use for this heroic gesture to do a finely crafted, well-designed element. That was the goal.
Mm-hmm. Mars, just real quick,
Yes.
The building, I know we keep referencing 120. This is actually, are there additional MPDUs here?
Yes,
102.
32.
32.
Yeah, so it gets it up to 132.
But your base almost reads, you know, up to 34 feet, right?
Yes.
That's sort of the top of that. I think with some architectural moves, you know, you can establish the base maybe a little stronger. Mm-hmm. And then you have the middle part, and then you set back at 90, and that might relate to the buildings on either side, etc. I think your efforts are in the right direction. I think you can,
yeah,
you can build on them. I guess that's
well, the setback could be at 100 too, right? Yep. Or 100, almost, if it's 132, 120 even.
Yeah.
You know, to sort of suggest what the future buildings are going to be like, and then there's a top to it.
Yeah. And the idea was too to really elevate the base of the building quite a bit, more so than
usually
retail.
Usually two floors, but we
right. Well, you got 34 feet, right? Because that's
right.
That's your clearance, right?
34 feet expression, and we've done some other tricks on other projects where we've had retail that seemed fairly standard one story, but we elevated that up.
Yeah, this is a good example.
A two-story read, and also retail where we've highly articulated and continued that articulation up beyond the retail floor, and it really gives that that feel to the streetscape.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we chose those precedents to emphasize that.
You've chosen wisely, as they say. The precedents are very, you know, there are various ones, and they're pretty good. But I think the issue is really the amount of setback, mm-hmm, and
where
the character and where it occurs. I mean, that's essentially it.
Yep.
We have some design to go yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this has been very helpful.
So we are over time. We only have one person signed up to talk about this project from the public. This is the panel. Want to give that time?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. So Naomi, please.
I'll keep it as short as I can because you've addressed many of the things I wanted to talk about. I'm very concerned about this block looking like the 7,900, 8,000 block of Wisconsin. Nobody's talked about the alley, which serves the parking for the Adagio. It will involve removing lights, garbage pickups. There was talk about the dumpsters disappearing, but it's a narrow alley, and I think that's a big problem in this whole concept. I don't see it as a comfortable place to sit. I just don't see how you can turn it into a nice setting. And I would point out that those steps in Calorama connect two residential streets. It's a very lovely place, but this is not the same thing. So I'll leave it at that since you addressed everything else that I have on my list. Thank you.
I'm glad you brought that up because that is an important element to it. And, you know, we have some problems to solve there. I think it is more vehicular than pedestrian is my own thought, just because it is a primary means of ingress and egress to several properties, but it needs some work.
Yeah. Well, you've got a 30-foot loading dock.
Mm-hmm.
You have moving trucks coming.
Right.
You have turns to be made.
Right.
You have, in most of the loading areas, we see dumpsters at the back, so they're really not 30 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
They're more like 20, 22. You can walk through Bethesda and see the ends of trucks sticking out of the loading areas. I think that needs more attention.
Agreed.
So to summarize what we talked about, the panel thought that there should be an overall vision for the block so that we really understand what might come in the future and then to guide each development on the block, particularly as it relates to the alley and through block connection. That there should be more attention to the step back and separation, and if there are alternative treatments, clearly identifying what those are and if they're meeting the intent of the guidelines. Finally, I think that there was a conversation about the theater. It's itself and its feasibility, really articulating what, whether or not this is a viable and feasible theater space, and if it's meeting the height requirements of a space like this. Is there anything I'm missing there?
Yeah, I think there has to be consideration of tower separation if you're going to 132 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially the base is too tall.
What do you mean the base is too tall?
This goes to 90
feet. 90
feet.
So
90
yeah.
feet. It's way above where the guidelines are.
Okay. Right.
Not the base, but the middle.
Yeah, the middle.
Middle setback.
Yeah.
Setback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. So this is at sketch plan, so we just need to know if there are any red flags to meet the minimum 10 public benefit points for exceptional design required. So as a baseline, we can say that the comments today should be met to meet that 10, but otherwise, are there other red flags to meet that 10?
I think those are a lot of comments.
They are
a lot of comments.
So those are the red flags.
I think ultimately, it could probably get points, depending
yeah.
on how it ends up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So at this point, you probably say, yeah, if you get 10.
I mean, done right, it could be
yeah.
a good project.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
Thank you.
There's a lot of potential here.
Yep.
But I think the alley issue is an issue because
mm-hmm.
of its, you know, all the dumpsters and the turning
yeah.
movements of all the trucks accessing, because your loading docks back there as well as your parking garage
yep.
accesses are back there. And I would assume that the abutting property owners would also do the same thing
mm-hmm.
there. They have their curb cuts off the alley, obviously, for their parking requirements, et cetera.
Well, yeah. Now they're going to screen all their services, the garbage cans and everything else back there.
Yeah.
At some point, that alley's going to become something.
Well, and then the housing that backs onto it
yeah.
from Strathmore.
Yeah.
That's going to be a design issue.
Well, I hear that this project has the best damn lawyer in the county.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so before we end, take a quick straw vote. So all those that would that think that they would support the project. So
mm-hmm.
it's either support or do not support.
But
that's
it
in the cart
yes.
way before the horse.
I think it's premature to do that.
Would
right
you
now.
Want to bring them back then at sketch plan?
Yes. They have
or
to come back.
Or
yeah.
they would come back at site. So the question is, you're thinking you would want to bring them back before site plan?
I don't know that we're going to have a whole lot of the answers to this until we get to site. I mean, we need some, you know, base level of
support
that we're heading in the right direction here. To get the project needs to have some credibility before we can start giving you the level of commitments that I'm hearing. So, you know, you have a pretty powerful thing still in your pocket called site plan. And we know when we bring this back to you at site plan, we're going to have answers to all of this. I think if we bring it back before sketch plan, we're going to be talking about a lot of the same things.
Unless you have coordination sketch plan with
the adjacent
property.
Owner. Right.
I think that's absolutely
that. And you said it was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm just
feeding
that back.
Yeah, to yeah. I need to shut up, I guess.
Yeah.
So you're saying if we had a scheme that would include,
even conceptually.
Pretty
conceptually.
I'd like that urban design, little
master plan. Is it ground floor plane?
Absolutely imperative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the ground floor plane?
Okay. You don't even need that much detail.
Yeah.
Just the massing.
I just think
if
we make your going forward in site plan strong.
That's right. Yeah.
If we could, whether you have to come back or not, I think you probably should. That's like a sketch plan. But don't come back if you can't come with Washington Property Company.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't, where does that leave?
I was going to say, it makes us dependent on a third party over whom we have
limited
control.
I think our comment should be just very ambiguous and says, yes, it can get points eventually if
but there's a lot
if they address
it means
all these
a
issues.
Lot of
yeah.
issues.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I would
think there's a lot of risk on your part
yes.
to advance it to that stage without kind of coming back.
That's
with,
my feeling.
At
yeah.
a very, very conceptual level, just massing diagrams. It doesn't have to, the articulation doesn't have to be developed, but just massing diagrams.
There's another project in this county that just happened, Silver Spring, where, you know, there was a lot of additional height that was totally predicated on including a grocery store, and they couldn't find a grocery store. And so, and, you know, here we are in site plan with a taller building. What do you, you know, that's pretty well developed. What do you do? And, you know, they're going to try to put in some sort of a market, a bunch of kiosks, I guess, and you know, which could be very nice. But, you know, I would suggest that the staff might not want to go down that path again and maybe would be a little bit more.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's going to concern us as staff, taking this to the board, is they're going to have the write-up from the DAP. And if there's a lot of holes to fill in before the board can make a decision, you know, that's their risk, as you said, but it's also staff kind of, we're in a little bit of a limbo situation in terms of, you know, we want to support the project. Mm-hmm. But if there's a lot of stuff to work on, then where does that leave everyone? So anyway, you know, this is the discussion that we're having here. We clearly can make things conditions if we needed to, and said you must address these things. But right now, I'm not hearing that there's a must on all these. They have to see how it fits into the overall context of the design.
Well, let's go there, which is that I think you're comfortable without the tower separations strictly, if there are other ways that we address the design. Is that what I heard?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it doesn't have to meet 22 and a half, like St. Elmo, right? Do we have a person that would have a full 22 and a half separation?
Say that one more time. Do we have a precedent of when someone hasn't met the full separation?
Yeah.
What they did as an alternative?
Yeah.
They could find precedents elsewhere. What we have in the design guidelines are a few different alternative treatments, like if they could do a different geometry so that you can increase the perception of separation, or they can do some sort of treatment of the facade itself so that you just don't have a party wall, like party wall.
But that
so
comes
those
in,
just need to be explored.
But that comes into play when the building's 120 feet or less, right?
And that's this.
Yeah, right.
So if we reduce to 120 feet, then you don't care about the tower separation.
Yeah. Not at all.
So that's good to know. Yeah. But at 132 feet,
something needs to be at least discussed and proposed.
Gotcha.
And
you might still get there, but you might have some challenges. Well.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
What happens if they above the 120 feet it was set back?
Well,
yeah, and that's where if you had a good one, a legitimate step back.
That's gaming the system.
That's not the spirit of tower. That's called penthouse.
I hear you.
Setback on three sides.
Yeah. I think we've got some huddling up to do, and we're hearing it right. We need to get some more positive read out of here for Roberts. So let's keep going here for a second. if the theater is a problem, then we're going to say if we don't have a theater, it's 120. And if we satisfy everybody in the next 9 months.
No, I think if it's you don't have the theater, then 110.
With MPDUs.
But
he's
got that.
And then that takes care of the rest of the problem.
Correct.
That's right.
That's right. So I think what we're going to say is we're at 110, okay? If we get this theater, everybody loves it, we have an operator and everything, then we get the additional height, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying here.
But, I mean, everything you pitched and presented so far is the theater.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now you're asking us to have alternative decisions and plans, taking it to the board, and that has a change to the design as well, and how it's incorporated.
That's part of your story, how you program that through block connection. Yeah. Which doesn't mean you didn't do with something else.
We are trying to be supportive of the theater.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but I think what you've heard from us is we don't have enough information to see how it really fits into the design of the building.
So if we punt that whole thing, and we punt the through block connection, you're going to say no. We need a through block connection, right?
We're going to
dumb that down. We could dumb that down to what? What's going to be acceptable?
No.
I think that's an inappropriate approach because the theater makes the through block.
Yes.
The through block, without the theater. And the expectation of this alley being, you know, something more than just dumpsters, etc., and access to, you know, the housing that's going to be there.
I wouldn't say a theater is necessary, but well, something. It depends on what they do on Strathport.
So. That's true.
I think if you look at it at an overall level, mm-hmm. you could live without the theater if the
you
other
still had the connection. You still had the connection.
You know, go back and look at Caddy's Alley. Look at the restaurant that's at the bottom of the stairs there. Yeah. So.
Okay, I withdraw. But the theater helps.
Oh yeah. I'll use it.
All right. So just to summarize, do you want the project to come back next sketch plan or not?
My problem is, I don't think we've given you very many positive suggestions that you could respond to and move forward with any safety. My humble opinion is that probably after you've talked with Washington Property Company, you have some idea on how this common area is going to work. You know, a brief additional session at sketch plan might be more beneficial to you than to us. Terms of moving forward the site plan, because I don't honestly see an answer that you can defend at this point. I mean, I don't think we've given you clear direction to which you could respond and safely move on to site plan. Now, maybe I'm full of it, and that could easily be, but that's what I'm hearing out of the discussion.
Well, it could be both. It could be that we're not getting clear direction, and you're full of it.
Well, we know that.
All right, moving right along.
I'm not trying to stop you. Worried about.
Do you think they should come back, Rod? Come back at sketch.
Yeah. Okay. I think.
And the
I think that's the wise
the main issues. Okay. And the main issues we discussed, and that if you intend to come down to 120 feet, then the design should reflect that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we have concerns over, you know, timing, like everything else, we're wanting to move on it.
We'll work with you on the timing, but I do think you want something that's a little bit more solid and complete going forward, so that we're not having this alternate discussion and taking it to site.
Yeah. Oh, so when you say come back at sketch, what does that mean?
Before we go to the board.
They want DAP wants to see this again before you go to the board.
And that we can accommodate before it, we're currently on schedule with a June hearing.
Yeah, so we're saying. We're saying either May or June, so you all can tell us if.
Probably May.
It would have to be. I think it would need to be May.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we have one slot in May.
Yeah.
Our report would be due beginning of June.
So if you have time for us on May.
Yeah, we have a slot. I'll put you in.
Okay. Well, we have our work to do, so let us get out of here.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Don, how are you?
Margaret is still with us.
Good,
Mr. George,
one size fits all.
Okay, I know.